This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. We have in studio Kathy Rago with Network for Education Opportunities and Doris Hohensee with Families for New Hampshire's
Families
for Education. I'll get it out eventually. And online, we have our wonderful Jen Coffey. Jen is a Second Amendment sister, coordinator, legislative director, I think it is, nationally, as well as a volunteer for her fire department in search and rescue. She's also involved with the State ID Coalition, and she's written a book called Knives, Lipstick, and Liberty, One Woman's Journey, and she also holds down a full-time job. I was so surprised to see her in the emergency room when I went in one day. So welcome to We Hold These Truths, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Jen.
Nice to hear you.
Thanks. What's going on with the Second Amendment?
It's like a firestorm, to be honest with you. I mean, there is so much reactionary politics going on that our rights are in serious jeopardy. And that's very concerning to us, the Second Amendment sisters, is we believe that the right to self-defense is a basic human right. So these reactionary efforts by some legislators in our own state are very concerning to us.
Now, are there some bills up in front of the State House that we can have any impact on, or have they already all gone through?
No, there's a number of bills. In fact, there are some that are being exec'd today. One of the ones that comes to mind the most is HB 135 that was introduced by Representative. That one stands to take away our rights to be able to defend ourselves in any place we have a lawful right to be. And it also puts more power into the criminal because it removes it. It gives them the ability to sue you should you try and defend yourself. And I would really hope to think that that's not the message that the New Hampshire legislature wants to send when we look at the statistics going on in our state and realize that women are most often more likely to be the victim of a violent crime than a man. And the number of rapes that occur in our state are absolutely concerning. And to tell a woman that she should turn around and run, or some of the media has told them to actually go so far as to urinate on oneself to try and prevent rape, rather than having the ability to defend themselves, is unconscionable in my book.
I couldn't agree more. And I've been trying to visualize that particular statement, and it doesn't make sense to me. I know that Representative Baldessaro also stood up and said that basically when he's ever been in combat, the last thing in his mind is not to run but to fight back. And to have some method of defense. And so I think it's the other one that I think they've come up with is that you should call your police.
And a lot of good that's going to do to have a phone in your hand when you're faced with an attacker that's right in front of you. And the idea of turning your back and trying to run away makes you more likely to be hurt. There's been so much political rhetoric around this issue. Basically, what it comes down to in my book is that instead of the legislature holding individual criminals responsible for their actions, they're not enhancing criminal law. What they're doing is looking to set limits on the liberties of the individuals that live in this state. If we allow that to take place, then effectively what we're doing is assuming responsibility for the actions of criminals.
I agree. And the other thing is reaction time. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a large discrepancy in the amount of time that an attacker would be able to actually make contact with you and the amount of time that it would be to actually get a policeman there to help defend you?
You're literally comparing minutes and seconds. A criminal is at your door. You have seconds to respond. The average police response time nationally is about 10 minutes. Now, we live in New Hampshire. There is a great deal difference of that. I live in rural New Hampshire. If I don't have local police on in my area for that night, and my neighboring town does not have a local police department at all, we're waiting for state police to arrive. And it's no offense to them, but they're coming from Concord. it could be 30, 45 minutes to an hour before an officer can arrive on scene. There is absolutely no way they're going to be able to arrive in enough time to stop somebody from being raped or robbed or murdered.
And
they'll get there to pick up the pieces and hopefully put them together to figure out who did it.
I think the one that most recent attack that comes to mind is the situation in Mount Vernon where the woman was asleep. Now, how do you even respond to that when you're we all sleep with our cell phones ready to go on 911? How many opportunities would we really have to even respond in that case?
And that was the most horrifying situation. Absolutely terrible. I can't even imagine being in that situation, and my heart really feels for their family. But that case actually caused an increase in the amount of women in the state of New Hampshire who came out to learn how to use firearms or purchase firearms because they wanted to have an ability to defend themselves should somebody try to break into their home. And we're talking about a case that involves criminals that were bent on murder. Their plan was to kill.
Exactly. Now, tell us about the Second Amendment Sisters. It's been a few years since I've first heard about them, but tell us what their mission is and your involvement.
The Second Amendment Sisters, I've proudly been a member of their leadership since 2005, and I a few years ago I took a position with National, and I serve on the board of directors as the director of legislative affairs. We were founded because years ago there was a group of women that got together and formed what they called the Million Mom March, and they were trying to advocate for more gun control. There was a group of women online who were friends who said, we don't want this to represent the average American woman. There needs to be a voice for us. People need to know there are women out there that value their lives, that do not believe a criminal has a greater right to life than they do, and take to heart that our basic human right is the ability to self-defense. And they started the Second Amendment Sisters. In New Hampshire, we have an extremely active group. We have a number of women involved in our leadership, and that number has been growing almost on a weekly basis. We hold events every month, and these are women's only events, that women can come and shoot and learn. And if they've never shot before, they'll be taken aside and they'll be taught every aspect of safety, every aspect of how a firearm functions, how to clean it, everything that's necessary. So, for example, on March 10th, we'll be having a shoot at Wilson Hills Pistol Club from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And we have female NRA certified instructors that are there to help people through that process. And then the following month in April, we'll be continuing with our shoots at Wilson Hill, but we'll also be shooting at Elkins Fish and Game. They've opened their range up to us. We've been welcomed by a number of companies and a number of ranges who value the importance of a woman to be able to defend themselves, and they've opened up their locations to us to help us teach women to feel confident in their ability to defend themselves and to choose wisely. I mean, not every firearm is best suited for every woman. We all have different body structures, different sizes in our hands, and it's wise to try various things to find what your comfort level is. I find the recent comments that were made by Vice President Biden to be absolutely inappropriate. Nowhere do we ever teach a woman to shoot off in the dark not knowing what her target is. And to make that suggestion on national TV concerns me. I mean, what if your neighbor's children are playing flashlight tag, and that's the noise you heard? But the vice president is telling people to shoot in the dark and hope? I don't think that's the right way. We teach women to know what their target is, to make sure there is a real threat before they pull that trigger, to value the life of themselves and their families. And that's the true gist of what the Second Amendment Sisters are about.
Well, the Second Amendment in reality, too, is about, it is about defending, but it's also about being a well-armed militia, basically as a well-armed citizen is what I meant to say, to be able to watch over and guard not only your property, but also to defend yourself against a tyrannical government. So, in New Hampshire, we're sort of special because I think that we're one of the few states that really recognizes that thoroughly, and even into our Constitution. So I'm assuming that that's one of the things that you also cover in your education.
Absolutely. History has taught us that whenever a government is allowed to start cataloging their human beings in the form of, say, gun registrations, what follows next is confiscation, knocking on people's doors and taking them. And if people don't think that's possible, just think about what happened at Katrina. Here we had this natural catastrophe. People were trapped in their homes, and we had people in law enforcement, and the military was utilized to go door to door, not to check on people, not to help them, not to be there for them, but to confiscate their firearms. And the evidence of that was captured in video. And if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube, where you actually see armed police manhandling a 60 or 70-year-old woman simply to take her revolver away from her and then left her there.
And if I'm not mistaken, her revolver wasn't even loaded at that point, was it?
I'm not even sure if it was, but I mean, the thought process of thinking that here a natural catastrophe, people are doing their best to stay safe. She was in a high rise. There was no water issues for her. She had plenty of food, plenty of water, and she had the ability to defend herself. Their concern wasn't for her safety, wasn't for her care and comfort. It was to take away the one thing that she had to defend herself with, her revolver. So we are very adamant. We will not compromise in the Second Amendment, sisters. We will not submit to background checks that are a fancy way of saying gun registration, because in order to do it, you've got to register the person and register the firearm. We will not support any type of firearm registration. We know, and history has taught us, once you allow that to occur, the next step is confiscation. And that's not something we're going to support or be a part of.
Jen, this is Kathy. I was listening to Fox News this morning, and I guess this is more of a would you believe, and if you want to expand on it, they commented that there's been a 77% increase in women purchasing firearms since President Obama won re-election.
I believe that's absolutely true. I absolutely do. The numbers that we've seen just here in the state of New Hampshire have been phenomenal. We've had some difficulties keeping up with all the people that are signing up. And there are more women who are stepping up and saying, I want to help, what can I do? And our leadership numbers are growing. And we have chapters all across the United States. But what I've witnessed just myself in the state of New Hampshire absolutely matches that statistic. So I don't doubt it at all. And what is that a product of? It's not just what's happening in the political realm, but what's happening in the real world. We're hearing more and more stories of home invasions, more and more stories of rapes and violent acts of crime against women. It's an only, you've got two choices. Do you cower in your home and hope nobody shows up and tries to hurt you? Or do you learn how to defend yourself and be proficient in that? And most women in our area have chosen to take the path of being able to defend themselves and their family members.
I wanted to ask you on the Wilson Hill Pistol Club in March.
Yes.
What I have a 17-year-old daughter that I would love to bring to something like that. Is there an age limit?
You can bring her. As long as you're with her, that's fine. We do allow teenagers to come in with their parent. We don't suggest it for young ages, but a 17-year-old absolutely should be welcome to come with you, and then we would definitely be happy to work with her and teach her firearm safety. In all honesty, really, when you think about it, we live in a state where firearms are pretty common. Every parent, whether you believe in firearms or not, whether you have a firearm or not, should teach their children about firearm safety. My child has known since he was a very young age. When he was younger, he was taught, you see a firearm, you don't touch it, it's not a toy, you consider every firearm loaded. You know, just some simple basic steps. And when he got old enough, we taught him how to properly use a firearm. There's nothing wrong with proactive teaching. We teach our kids to wear their seatbelts in their cars. We teach our kids, you know, not to speed. Why don't you teach your children firearm safety?
I agree. And in fact, in the state of New Hampshire, it's actually a law that you that we are allowed to educate our children on firearm safety in our schools, but yet we're not supposed to be carrying on our schools. I mean, that's a gun-free zone. So I'm not quite sure how that's accomplished, but
it
is a law.
I don't think it is. I haven't heard of any schools that are actually teaching that. And there are some wonderful programs out there. The Eddie Eagle program, there's a lot of programs out there that would be supportive to teach children firearm safety at the different age levels with appropriate materials. Unfortunately, no, that's not an issue that's apparently covered. I know a lot of homeschoolers do cover that, but unfortunately in the public school environment, no, I don't think that's taught. Maybe I haven't seen that law. I'd be interested to see it. If you want to email me the RSA, I'd love to take a look at it. But I, to my knowledge, have never heard of a school that actually taught it.
Well, actually, it's interesting because several years apparently back, they used to, when students used to bring their rifles to school on the and then on the way home they would go out hunting. There were competitions. You know, you had I can't even think of marksmanship teams. Actually part of your school system. And so and then the only reason I know that is because I was actually talking to one of my campaign supporters, and I was being sarcastic, and I said, well, we should really teach the kids to shoot because they're going to shoot anyway, playing off of another campaign. And she said, well, actually we used to. And as she told me about how they did, she was a teacher, and how they actually used to instruct the students on how to be safe around guns. So yes, Jen, I'll be happy to send that to you. Let me know. Let our audience know how they can get in touch with you.
To get in touch with me directly, the easiest way to do that would probably be to just email me at jen@jencoffee.com. My website is jennCoffey.com. I'll do a little plug here. You can visit my store. I'm running a sale right now. So if you punch in Forum 15 into your cart, you'll get 15% off your order and free shipping. But more importantly, I want to make sure that your listeners know about the Second Amendment Sisters. Please visit our website. Our website is the number two, the letter A, sisters.org. Or you can feel free to give us a call on our toll-free line, which is 877-271-6216. If you're thinking about becoming active, if you want to attend one of our shoots, please feel free to contact me or contact our main office to help get you in touch with one of us here in the state. We'd love to have you. And if you're a strong woman who wants to stand up for your rights and you would like to be a part of our leadership team, definitely get in touch with us.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, and we'll be in touch with you for sure. I know at least my guests, Kathy Rago and Doris Hohensee, will be in touch, but hopefully our listening audience will be also. And thank you so much for coming on to We Hold These Truths.
Thanks for having me, Karen. You have a wonderful day.
All right, and we'll be back after this short break.